Good afternoon. The Health and Human Services Committee will come to order. Cheryl, please call the roll.
Chair Burton.
Here.
Representative Altman is excused. Representative Spatana.
Here.
Brown. Botana, I mean, sorry, Buchanan.
Here.
Sorry. Davis.
Here.
Duran.
Here.
Garrison.
Here.
Grant is excused. Coster.
Here.
Missoula. Mello.
Here.
Persons Mullica. Here. Rayner. Rizzo. Here. F. Robinson.
Here.
W. Robinson.
Here.
Cerulli.
Here.
Skidmore.
Here.
Tant.
Here.
Yarborough. Here. Quorum is present.
Thank you, Cheryl. Members in our audience, just our weekly or every meeting reminder, please silence any electronic devices that you have. And now I'd like to begin by telling you today's a presentation, a single presentation. So I know everybody's going to. Members, as some of you, all of you should recall, a few years ago, the legislature made a major change to how we provide dental services in the Medicaid program. Today, we have a briefing from the Agency for Healthcare Administration on how the program is doing since that change. Tom Wallace, who's the Deputy Secretary of Medicaid, is here to talk about quality outcomes in our dental program. And Secretary Wallace, if you are ready to go, you are recognized.
Good afternoon, Chair Burton and members of the committee. Thank you for having me here today to provide an update on Florida Medicaid's dental program. I'd like to first start with a brief overview of the agency. Some of you may have already heard this, but just want to kind of reiterate it again, that the agency is a statutorily created entity outlined in Section 20.42 of Florida statutes as the state's chief health and policy planning entity. The agency mission is better healthcare for all Floridians, and the agency has several core functions, including administering the Florida Medicaid program, which I oversee, as well as the entity responsible for licensure and regulation of the nearly 50,000 healthcare facilities, and then leveraging technology to improve access to healthcare data and enhancing the integration among the agencies. So as we come together to fulfill our mission of better healthcare for all Floridians, the agency has four core values that we look at. One of them being one ACA. We look at it as one ACA. So we're one agency. We're focused on one agency, one team mindset. Very much like Governor DeSantis has challenged agencies to break down the silos, we have done that here at the agency within the different program offices and departments.
Excuse me, Secretary Wallace, I hate to interrupt you, but you need to advance the slides yourself, sir, because they're not advancing. Thank you. Yep.
And then cost effective. So we leverage Florida's buying power in delivering high quality care to low cost for the taxpayers. Also being very transparent. So we support the initiatives that promote transparency and empower consumers in making well-informed healthcare decisions. And then lastly, high quality. So we emphasize quality in all that we do to provide high outcomes, always putting the member and the individual first. And as we go through this presentation here, you'll see how some of these dental outcomes are coming about here today. So just overall, I want to give you a little bit of information about the Florida Medicaid program. So currently, Medicaid is nearly 5 million recipients in Florida on the Medicaid program. Of that number, 3.9 million are in our Medicaid Managed Medical Assistance Program. About 121,000 are in our long-term care program, and then 4.1 million of that 5 million is going to be in our dental program. This roughly 5 million individual number, 2.2 million of those are adults, parents, elderly and disabled, and pregnant women. Florida Medicaid serves 49% of the children in Florida. Of all the births in Florida, 56% of them are Medicaid-related births. And then also, Florida Medicaid is responsible for 63% of the nursing home days So since Florida Medicaid covers significant percentages of the population, such as children and pregnant women, we have the opportunity here to impact statewide health outcomes throughout the program. And you can see on here, too, the statewide Medicaid managed care program, when we implemented that, it was in fiscal year 13-14. So since 13-14, most of Florida Medicaid recipients have been required to enroll in the statewide Medicaid managed care program, or SMMC program, to receive services. No longer is there a fee-for-service model. In 2013, the agency initially procured the SMMC medical and long-term care contracts. And then in 2017, it was our second set of contracts, so we re-procured it, going into the second term, and we had awards for both the medical, long-term care, and dental services, and that all occurred in 2018. So with the statewide Medicaid managed care program, or SMMC program, there are three components here. First is the managed medical assistance component. Medical services such as doctor visits, hospital care, prescribed drugs, mental health care, transportation, or some of these services that are covered by our Medicaid managed care plans. The next component is our long-term care component. These are long-term care services such as nursing facility, assisted living facilities, and then our home and community-based services, and then dental. So all Medicaid recipients who receive a dental benefit are enrolled in one of our dental plans. So legislation passed in 2020 to extend the contract out a year through 2024. You see on the slide here, I do have it saying through 2023. You know, we are in the process of extending our current contract through 2024. This will be a six-year contract for the plans. And this is just briefly to show you that the majority of our population here in Florida Medicaid is in the managed care program. So 78% is managed care, while 22% is fee for service. As everyone is well aware, when the pandemic hit in March of 2020, that our enrollment has increased. And this is just trying to illustrate that. So we've had a drastic increase in our Medicaid enrollment, increasing by roughly 1.2 million recipients from March of 2020 through September. And this is trying to illustrate what the enrollment looked like on March 1, 2020 compared to September 30, 2021. You can see that there's a drastic increase in that enrollment. Okay, so that now takes us into the dental program, the meat of our discussion here. So dental services have been included as part of our Medicaid program since inception, roughly 1970. But states are required to provide dental services to children, but they are not required to supply them to adults. In 2014, dental services were included as part of our managed medical assistance component of our statewide Medicaid managed care program. Then in 2016, House Bill 819 passed, which gave direction to the agency to implement a standalone dental program in March of 2019. You often will hear this referred to as the dental carve-out. So it was carved out of our Medicaid managed care program, separate program. So Florida experienced a steady increase in the dental performance under the MMA program from 2014 to 2018. And then as this dental carve-out occurred in 2019, Florida has saw these performance gains stall. So everyone who receives a dental benefit must enroll in the dental program to receive that benefit, with a few exceptions. Individuals in the medically needy program and the iBudget program, iBudget is run by the Department of APD, Agency for Persons with Disabilities, they are included in the dental program, even though they are not required to enroll in our MMA program. So we have some excluded populations as well. So there are some recipients with a limited Medicaid benefit. An example of those would be Medicare dual eligible individuals, and then also some of our family planning eligibles are also have that limited benefit and they are excluded. Also, individuals that are in a state mental health hospital who are under the age of 65 are excluded. Those that are in a residential treatment facility, Those that are in the program for all-inclusive care, this is our PACE program, they're excluded. And then also those residential commitment facilities that are operated by the Department of Juvenile Justice. So any of those individuals are excluded from the dental program. Other than that, everyone else is included, mandatory. I just wanted to kind of show you guys what it looked like in terms of our state and the enrollment on the dental program. You see it's a 4.1 total number of people. We have our map of our 11 different Medicaid regions in the state. As you can see, Miami-Dade, Marin County down in Region 11, 626,000 individuals enrolled in the dental program. That's our largest population, next with Region 6 and 7 in Central Florida. So unlike the MMA and our long-term care programs that we have, we made that all three statewide plans that operate our dental program operate in all of the 11 Medicaid regions. So that's a difference. It's not mandatory for MMA and long-term care to operate statewide. However, for the dental, it is. As you can see on this slide here, that our largest plan is DentaQuest, serving 1.8 million individuals. And then with our smallest plan being MCNA Dental, slightly under a million recipients. So most of the dental services that are currently covered by Medicaid are for children. The dental benefit for adults under the state plan Medicaid program is limited. The state plan benefit is the basic package of services that are covered by our Medicaid program. As you can see here, the dental benefit for adults are for emergency services only and not the preventative. So that's on the right-hand side of the screen. You can see they're really emergency-type related services that are provided. Children, on the other hand, get a comprehensive dental care, including all medically necessary services that are dental services. And you can see it's a larger set there on the middle and the left-hand columns. Now, with the benefits, I will say that, you know, dental plans do provide a loaded benefit coverage for adults. These services are not available under the regular Medicaid package, which was on the other slide. These are considered expanded benefits that the dental plans agreed to cover in their contract with us. They are provided at no additional cost to the state. So they're just expanded that the plans have agreed to cover. With these expanded benefits, we have the broadest adult benefit that we have ever had in the state. So care coordination between Medicaid health coverage and the dental plans. Care coordination is the process that coordinates the services required to meet an enrollee's healthcare needs to provide the quality outcomes. And when dental services were carved out in 2019, a need for additional and sometimes complex coordination between dental plans and MMA plans came about. And since the MMA plans continue to be responsible for the medical component of certain dental services, it created situations where separate providers, separate authorizations, prior authorizations, and payment need to be made from both the MMA plan as well as the dental plan. So things were kind of separated there. And this slide is just trying to show you what the type of dental services were, what was covered under the dental plan, and what's covered under the MMA plan, or if they're in fee-for-service and not in MMA. So an example, what I was just talking about, is oral surgery. So if that is needed and scheduled in an ambulatory surgical center, the dental plan would cover the authorization and costs associated with the dental provider, but the MMA plan would be responsible for the authorization and the payment for both the transportation for that service, the prescription drug after the fact for that service, any facility costs in the ambulatory surgical center, as well as any kind of anesthesiological cost. So this is a complex system for enrollees and providers to navigate, especially with the more complicated procedures that may occur. So we do have a series of performance measures that the agency uses both nationally recognized, most of them are nationally recognized and widely used performance measures, as well as nationally used tools to measure the performance and experience of the enrollees, which is considered satisfaction surveys. So in addition to, and in order to ensure that we've had the data related to key quality goals, we have some agency-defined measures we have created that all the dental plans must report on. So these measures include HEDIS, which is the Healthcare Effectiveness Data and Information Set. This is the most widely used performance measure out there in the U.S., whether it's Medicaid, Medicare, or commercial. This is what's out there for all states to look at. It's that measurement tool. CMS Adult and Child Core Set is another measure. This is established by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and it's reported by states and included in the annual CMS scorecard for the Medicaid programs, and the Medicaid programs receive that pretty much every July. We also have the CMS 416 measures, which are required federal reporting tools on healthcare services provided to children. So the CMS 416 is an annual early and pediatric screening, diagnostic, and treatment participation report. That's our EPSDT report. And that comes to the states as well every July. Then there's agency-defined measures related to emergency department visits, measures created by the Dental Quality Alliance. The agency-defined and Dental Quality Alliance measures are newly added measures, so the data is just now coming in, and we really don't have much data on that at this point in time. And the agency has also identified a core quality goal related to improvement in the HEDIS annual dental visit measure and preventive dental service measure. And most of all these dental visit or these dental performance measures up here that you see are related to children. So taking a look at the first one of these HEDIS, actually the only HEDIS goal related to dental is the annual dental visit. And this is assessed on members ages 2 through 20 years of age with dental benefits and had at least one dental visit throughout the course of a year. So Florida has made significant improvements in performance on this measure, but our starting point was very low, as you can see on the slide here. We have focused our efforts on these improvements in children's access to dental care over the past years, acknowledging that Florida has not done very well in this area. While we still have a ways to go, you can see that during the initial SMMC contract period, which is going to be the period between the two, in the middle there, between the two dotted lines going down, the MMA plan showed a 16% improvement, just increased, going from the 43% up to 50%. So for calendar year 14, that was a transition year. That's when we transitioned to our SMMC program. Calendar year 2019, that you can see on this, is the first year that the dental carve-out, where plans reported this measure, it was a transition year as the plans began operating between December of 18 and February of 19 in the different regions throughout the state. So they operated as it rolled out. And then in calendar year 2020, you can see that there was a drop-off there, going from 51 to 40%. This includes the COVID pandemic period. So this is when we had dental offices that were closed and individuals choosing not to go ahead and go get service at that time, preventive dental care. So the reason for that drop-off at that time. The little chart in the middle here, you can see when we went to our contract period, our contracts, when we negotiated the contracts, all the dental plans had committed to certain targets for the adult dental visit for children measure. And then you can see what the performance was for year one and year two after those targets. The next measure we look at here is a preventative services for children measure. This is preventative. So this is a percent of children and adolescents that are ages 1 through 20 who were enrolled in Medicaid or the Children's Health Insurance Program for at least 90 days and who had at least one preventative dental service reporting during that year. So similar to the annual dental visit that we just looked at, prior to the implementation of the SMMC program, Florida's performance was very poor, Focused efforts for improvement on this measure began prior to the program implementation, and during the first contract period of SMMC, scores had improved by the 44%, and that's going from 27% all the way up to the 39% there. However, the performance gains appear to have stalled during the first years of the dental carve-out. So the Florida calendar year, as I said previously on the last slide, in 2014, that was a transition year between, you know, going into our SMMC program. In federal fiscal year 18-19, that was the first year the dental carve-out plans reported on PDENT. It was a transition year as the plans began operations in December and in February of 2019 throughout the state. And then in that last year in there for federal fiscal year 19-20, again, the drop-off is having to do with the pandemic and less services were being, dental services being done at that time. So very similarly here, the plans and the contract were required to or committed to certain targets, and you can see the targets along with the performance. Okay, on this slide, we're comparing how Florida compares to the nation on preventative services. You can see that although we have seen significant improvement in this, we are still significantly below the national average. As seen upon implementation of managed care, Florida has seen an increase compared to the national average. However, we have kind of stalled here since we're going into 2019. The reason you don't see a national average for 2020 is as that information is not yet available. So we didn't have it to put on this slide. And then for sealants, this is a very similar slide, looking at another performance measure. This is Florida versus nation on our sealants. For children ages 6 to 14, again, as with the last slide, you can see that Florida has made improvements from a really low score towards the up towards that national average. So getting real close there at the end. And again, we don't have the data for the nation for 2020. So when the dental component was carved out in 2019, the agency identified a number of new performance measures for these plans. These new performance measures coincide with the new dental plans, so there is no historical comparison of that at this point in time. So these two are both preventive and treatment, so we call it PDENT and TDENT measures. And in addition, no national means are yet available for this information. So a number of these are new measures, so there's nothing really out there yet. And the dental plans did perform above the national median for one of the sealant measures for ages 6 to 9, and we kind of wanted to show that on here. And this is a listing on the left-hand side, the preventive measures and preventative services that are done along with the treatment on the right-hand side. And then I had mentioned earlier that there is some satisfaction surveys that are done as well. And these are measures, the measures we have discussed so far has just been really focused on the health plans and how their providers are performing. But we also look at what the members think about their plan. So we do this through what we call CAP surveys, and that's the consumer assessment of healthcare providers and systems. It's a survey that asks the members a series of questions designed to measure their satisfaction or happiness with their health plan or their dental plan in this case here. And they can go ahead and also through a robust complaint intake and monitoring system is what we look at as well. So you can see that here in most of the dental CAP surveys, overall satisfaction and quality ratings were very high. And so looking at three here, the dentist, you know, with 88% overall plan satisfaction, 85%, and quality of care received, 86%. So the satisfaction in 2020 was really good, really high here. The agency encourages that any member of providers who is having a problem or a challenge with a health plan to contact us and reach out to us here. So any issues can be resolved immediately, and it's worked out. We work it out with the plan. We track and we trend all issues to identify potential program and operational changes that might be needed to make our program better and to take compliance action in the plan if need be. So we track every contact that is made to us, And in some of these things are not really complaints, even though we call it like a complaint, but it's any kind of contact that the plans reach out if they need help, or the members need, excuse me, the members reach out to us too. And if that's it, we just track that. So some examples of these dental categories where we've made contact, where the contact has been made to us by the recipient, was they're just asking for, they need help getting medical or dental care. So just a basic question, how can we get help here? They also need help enrolling or disenrolling into, or changing plans, interchanging plans. They need help with their personal information needs updated. So we get all these things reach out to us, and again, we track all that. And then with providers, the agency has received very few complaints from the dental provider. So there's really not a lot there that we get. Okay. And then moving on to the next steps. So as I mentioned earlier, the agency will begin formulating procurements for the next round of the SMMC contracts next year. As we prepare for this round of procurements, the agency could take several steps, including reviewing our current program structure and increase our focus on comprehensive coordinated care, and consider strategies to increase the oral health of our state's most vulnerable and our quality outcomes. So new metrics can be negotiated as part of the procurement ITM process, which we plan to do. And with all initiatives here at the agency, any change, we support the governor's vision for cost-effective, transparent, and high-quality healthcare system. So I look forward to continuing this discussion with each of you as our agency works to fulfill our mission of better healthcare for all Floridians and identify opportunities to work with each of you to continue to increase outcomes for our Florida Medicaid members.
Secretary Wallace, you're ready for questions. Okay, thank you for that presentation. Sure. Members, do we have questions? Excuse me. Representative Tanch, you're recognized.
Thank you. I have a couple of few questions. One is, thank you, Madam Chair. you just mentioned that you could decide on looking at a comprehensive care plan, or you could contemplate better outcomes. Would that go back to being a carve back in an opt into the program versus a carve out? And what would be the better outcome in your view?
You recognize.
Thank you, and thank you for that question. So we know that when the dental plans were carved into the MMA plans, you had a system where that member was being managed by one plan throughout the whole continuum of care that they were receiving. So not only for the medical service, but also for their dental services was all being handled by one plan in that situation.
Additional questions?
And so what is your view of that? Is that a good thing or is that not a good thing? Is that a CARP, you want to combine those back together for the comprehensive care or not?
You recognize.
I would say what we always like to look at what's best for the member itself. And to me, if a member can get one care throughout one system and the continuum of care, that seems to be the best approach.
Representative Skidmore, you're recognized for question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Secretary Wallace. On the beginning of your presentation, I thought I heard you say that there was no fee for service, but then the graph shows that the Medicaid program does have 21.6% fee for service. Can you tell me who's in that category of fee for service?
You're recognized.
Yep. Thank you for that question. That was a graph not just of dental, that was a whole Medicaid program. So that's all Medicaid, and we do have some individuals that are either voluntary or excluded from the managed care program. And so that's what that was trying to represent. So like our development and disabled population, they're excluded. So that, and there's some smaller programs as well.
Thank you. Follow up, Madam Chair.
You're recognized.
Thank you. On your expanded benefits for adults, I understand that there's no statutory requirement that the plans provide preventative care for adults. However, on your slide, I got a little confused. On the performance measures, the goal is to increase the percentage of preventative dental services by an average of 1% year over year. Is that for children only? And if not, how how do you require the plans to do that when you don't actually require the plans to offer preventative care?
Before you go there, Representative Skidmore, could you just share with the members, are you on slide 22? So everybody can know.
Don't know what number it
number?
Is. 17.
Oh, 17. Back to 17.
Sorry, thank you, Madam Chair. Sorry about that.
Sure. Yep. Thank you for that question. If you look up here, all the performance vast majority of our performance measures are having to do with children. You know, so that's what we're tracking, the children's performance measures. So that's what we're looking at there. In terms of the expanded benefits, the dental plans do offer, again, like I said, these are above and beyond. So they are offering preventative dental services to the adults as an expanded benefit. So that's not covered under Medicaid. So it's an expanded benefit through the managed care plans.
Follow up, Madam Chair?
One more?
Sure. Thank you. Appreciate that. I'm still just a little bit confused about that. I understand that it's not a requirement of ACA that the plans provide it. But on your performance measures, it says CMS adult and child core set. So in that goal of increasing the preventative dental care, your goal is still only toward children. Is that correct?
You're recognized.
So that term, CMS adult and child core set, that is a general term. So it includes both adult measures and child measures within that core set, not only for dental. The ones you have up here are the ones for dental. And these are looking at the children's. The CMS adult and child core set has multiple other healthcare related items for MMA plans as well.
Thank you, Representative Masula. You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sir, looking at the provider network and the amount of dentists throughout our state, do you believe the program is inducive enough to have enough dentists participate to be able to cover the members that we have now, as well as the growth that we'll see in the future? Or what can the plan do to try to get more dentists involved with your programs?
You're recognized.
Thank you for that question. I will say, looking at the dentist here, so each plan, whether it's carved in or carved out, they have to have a provider network of the dentist here. And looking at that, we do see that when the dentals was carved into our managed care program, the network was larger. There was a more extensive network than what we see now. And that's some information I can provide to the committee after if you like.
Thank you. You good, Dr. Sulo, Representative? Follow up, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And my follow up would be the second half of the question. What do you think the plan would need to do to be able to accommodate more providers in the network to meet the needs in the future that we're going to see?
You're recognized.
Yeah, I would say thank you for that question, but that's the responsibility of the plans to go out there and talk to providers and try to increase their network. They have network standards that they need to meet, and so they know what they have to do, and I know the plans work on that now.
Thank you. Representative Soroy, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and good afternoon. Could we go back to slide 15, please? And I would ask you, could you clarify for me the differences between the new carved-out program for adults and what was covered under the old program?
You're recognized.
Sure. You're responding. We're looking at the expanded benefits on the slide, I guess.
Yes.
And I would say, whether it's carved in or carved out, the expanded benefits are roughly the same, I think. One main difference is that with the carved out program, the expanded benefits are all the same amongst all three of the plans. When it was carved in, each of our managed care plans could offer a different array of expanded benefits for dental.
And follow up, you're recognized.
Thank you very much. And I recall during your presentation, you said that it is costing us less now. Is that correct? And also, what does that mean in terms of access?
You're recognized.
I'm not sure I said it was costing us less to have it being carved out. Because I know right now we do have to pay an administration fee for both on the dental side and on the MMA side, too. So we have both an admin fee on both components here, along with the agency having administrative burdensome of having to have two two sets of contract managers, essentially, basically. So it's an admin on both the Medicaid agency side as well as for the two different plans.
Okay. Representative Davis, you recognized?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Secretary. With your dental plans under the Medicaid Managed Care Program, what are the network standards, the network adequacy standards? And with that, how does ACA monitor and enforce those standards?
Recognize.
Yeah, thank you for that question. On the specifics of the standards, I will need to get back to you on that, which I can do and follow up with you in the committee, if that's okay, and lay those out for you. To enforce them, we do have what we call liquidated damages in place. So if a dental plan does not meet those standards, we have the opportunity to impose a liquidated damage against them.
Follow up? You recognize? And going in a different direction, because now you're dealing with procuring three additional managed care plans, overseeing and monitoring those plans, do you have the staff and the staff resources to be able to do that? You recognize?
Thank you, and thank you for that question. Well, this program, the dental program has been in place. The carved out program has been in place, and we've been operating with our current staff, you know, running that program right now.
Thank you. Representative Garrison, you recognize.
Thank you, Chair. Sir, I've got a quick question for you. I'm assuming there are situations that exist where individuals who need emergency dental care or Medicaid recipients will show up at an ER as opposed to a traditional dental clinic. How does that work in terms of a cost standpoint? Who pays those costs? What sort of information can you provide in those circumstances?
You recognize.
Okay, thank you for that question. So as it is now, if you go back to that slide I had on here, let's see here. Well, these are the services, the covered services. But the MMA plan would cover emergency department now, and so the dental plan would not cover that. When carved in, the MA plan has an economic incentive to provide the dental care to reduce the EDR visits and to reduce the cost. So they have that incentive to do so. And when it's carved out like it is now, that incentive is just not there.
Follow up, you recognize.
You mind clarifying that for me? So the disincentive, what does that mean?
You recognize.
Sure. Thank you for that question. So again, this is going back to what I was saying earlier, answering, you know, when an individual is in a managed care plan that, let's say the dental is carved in, then that managed care plan is responsible for covering that care for that individual, the whole continuum of care, from the medical to the dental. So it would cover the dental along with the ER visit at the same time.
You're recognized indeed.
Thank you for your indulgence, Chair. Just from a cost-benefit standpoint, so if the cost is then being incurred by the provider and not the plan itself in that situation, what's the respective cost vis-a-vis, you know, preventative care versus that emergency services? I mean, generally speaking, how's that dynamic work?
You recognize.
Well, the cost is being incurred by the provider, and if the provider is an ED, then that's going to be covered by our MMA plan and not the dental plan.
Okay.
Good. Representative Durand, you recognize?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Secretary, for being here. Kind of question related to, you have, if these children are enrolled in this, you know, the dental plan separated, I think about it like this. There's dental care and overall dental health is interconnected to the overall well health of the child. So if when the child is getting or not going to the dentist or anything like that, are these insurance plans, the one that they're enrolled with on the Medicaid side, talking to the dental plan in any way, or is there any sort of communications or, you know, any sort of teamwork being done, I guess, to ensure that this child is going to the dentist, et cetera?
You recognize?
Yep, thank you for that question. They're supposed to be. There's supposed to be that talking between them to get that coordination together. That's how it has to work now between the managed care plan and the dental plan right now. That communication needs to occur between the two.
You recognize, Representative Durand?
Madam Chair, and thank you. So is that a part of the agency in terms of your monitoring of these contracts, that these organizations are speaking to each other, that these two different providers are speaking to each other and tracking that? Is there anything that you receive to sort of verify or get some level of that this is happening?
You recognize.
Thank you for that question. As I mentioned on our last slide, one of the last slides here, about our surveys that we do, satisfaction surveys we have out, we do have a complaint hub. And so if there is something there that the member needs, they reach out to that complaint hub. And so we track it that way through the complaint hub. And so we can know at that point in time if the communication is not occurring between the managed care plan or the dental plan.
You're recognized, Representative Anna Deed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. All right, so I when it comes to then, you just showed us where we are as a state, measurable in comparison to national standards. Tell us some of the strategies that you all are thinking as the agency to help when it comes to the contract negotiations, when it comes to thinking through how do we increase those numbers. Obviously, 2020 is very different, but us going forward, we still are below the national standard in terms of some of these measures. So what is the agency thinking through in terms of strategy or how it's engaging the dental and the health plans, et cetera, on getting these numbers up?
You're recognized.
Thank you for that question. I'm glad you brought that up. And that is what we're looking at. That's exactly what we want to do. We want to bring these numbers up, and we know we have another procurement coming up here really shortly. So those things that you're asking is what we're talking about internally now and getting prepared for the next contract period to see what we can do, what kind of outcomes can we hold over these plans to meet these targets, whatever that might be. So that is something that I don't have any specifics for you right now, but that is what we are looking at and discussing right now.
Thank you. Representative Tanch, you recognize?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do you know, in terms of the number and the participation, do you know if it mirrors private practice at all during this COVID period?
You recognize?
I'm not real sure on that. I don't have that information.
Okay. Members, additional questions? Representative Davis, you recognize?
Just quickly, so how are the dental plans rates set, and how much did the state pay of the Medicaid dental plans for the last fiscal year? You may not know that right off today, but if you could provide that to us later on, I would appreciate it.
You're recognized.
Sure. I can provide you some numbers on that, but just in general, the rates are set by our actuary, Milliman. So they're the ones that set our capitation rates for our managed care program along with our dental program. So it's a capitated rate that we pay each plan. So each month we pay the plans a per member per month to take care of the services, all the dental services for that individual that it may need. What I can tell you is just looking at some rough estimates here, what we're factoring in, what we're estimating to spend in dental costs for capitation and capitation payments to the plans, we're looking at roughly over $350 million, I think, is what we pay. Maybe $380 or so was built into the Social Services Estimating Conference for dental capitation rates.
Additional questions? Questions tend to beget questions. So now my turn. I wait till everybody else is. So on slides 18 and 19, I wrote myself a little note where you reference year one target, year one performance, your targets and performance for both year one and year two for two different performance measures here. Just, are there any incentives to meet those? Were those targets and contracts, and were there any incentives to meet their contracts or disincentives, if you will, not to meet them?
Yep. Thank you for that question.
You're recognized.
Yep. Thank you. Yes, these targets are built into the contract, right? So they were negotiated when the negotiation team went in there. They negotiated these targets with all these plans. So they're built into the contract. If they don't meet these targets, what is out there is to liquidate damages, basically. So they could be LD'd for not meeting that target. Now, I know year two, looking at that, they're low. It's COVID year. So that's out there to take into consideration as well.
Thank you. Members, one more time. Any additional questions? Well, Secretary Walz, thank you very much for your presentation. for your presentation and for being so wonderful answering questions. And I know you've got some information that you'll provide to all of us for his follow-up, particularly for Representative Davis, I believe. So, okay. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So, members, this is a presentation, and we don't normally go to a public testimony necessarily, but we do have an individual who's here with us today who would like to speak to the topic, I believe, and that is Dr. Rudy Liddell. He was a dentist here on behalf of the Florida Dental Association. So, Dr. Liddell, you are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Ranking Member Davis, and committee members. I'm Dr. Rudy Liddell. I'm a general dentist from Brandon, Florida, and I'm a former president of the Florida Dental Association, and I currently serve as the 17th District Trustee to the American Dental Association. I would like to thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I've been practicing dentistry for more than 38 years, and it's a profession that I love because I get to help people with their oral health, which can have an impact on their overall health. In 2015, the Florida Dental Association released Florida's Action for Dental Health. I'm sure a lot of you have seen it. It's a comprehensive report outlining several different objectives and strategies to help improve the dental care of all Floridians. In 2019, you approved legislation that became law that reinstates the Dental Student Loan Repayment Program and codified into law the Donated Dental Services Program. Even though this legislation became law, there was no funding in the budget, so these programs are on the books but have not been implemented. The FDA has been advocating for the past years for these programs to be funded at $773,000. The Dental Student Loan Repayment Program would incentivize dentists to work in rural and underserved areas as full-time Medicaid providers in public health settings such as county health departments or community health centers, and be eligible to receive assistance with the repayment of their student loans. Participating dentists would get up to $50,000 a year for a maximum of 5 years for participating in the program. The funds would not go directly to the dentist. They would go directly to the financial institution where the loan is to be repaid. This program is a win-win situation for everyone. By implementing this program, you will get dentists to sign up as Medicaid providers and to provide dental care to those who need it most. And in return, they will get assistance in repaying their dental loans. The Donated Dental Services Program provides free comprehensive dental care to individuals who are elderly, disabled, medically compromised, and unable to afford dental care. People who qualify for this program cannot be on Medicaid and typically are unable to afford private dental insurance. The program currently has more than 500 volunteer dentists and 200 dental labs that will donate dental care and services to those people who are eligible to receive this care under this program. The funding needed for this program would go towards hiring two full-time coordinators and operating expenses. The program is currently active. However, it has only one part-time coordinator who is handling all the requests, and there is currently a lengthy wait list. At this time, the program receives funding from the Florida Dental Association's foundation, as well as grants and donations. We are hoping that the 2022 legislature would appropriate the funding needed to implement these programs so that we could get services to those individuals around the state. I want to take a moment to thank you for appropriating funding during the 2021 legislative session for the FDA Florida Mission of Mercy. Since 2014, the FDA Foundation has hosted these two-day dental clinics around the state, providing individuals on a first-come, first-served basis with free dental care. The initial Florida Mission of Mercy was held in Tampa at the Tampa Fairgrounds. And from there, we've gone to Orlando, we've gone to Pensacola, Fort Myers, and Jacksonville, twice in Jacksonville. It was held this past year, We canceled the 2020 Mission of Mercy. We normally have these in the spring because of COVID-19 and rescheduled for this year. This year, it was held in July at the in Jacksonville at the Prime Osborne Convention Center, where we provided free care to more than 1,100 people at a cost of, well, donated services of $1.6 million. The Florida Dental Association also takes pride in serving our veterans who have unselfishly served us. During the Florida Mission of Mercy, we set aside time early to pre-screen our veterans and to provide them with dental treatment through our Veterans First Initiative. Many people are unaware that veterans don't receive dental care through the VA unless they are 100% disabled. They can't even get their teeth cleaned. So our volunteers put in a little extra time to serve our veterans first during these events. The funding that was appropriated by the legislature in this year's budget will provide financial support for the next Florida Mission of Mercy, scheduled for March 11th and 12th. It'll be held right here in Tallahassee at the Leon County Civic Center. With the 2022 legislative session scheduled to adjourn on Friday, March 11th, I would like to personally invite each of you to come by the Civic Center on Saturday, March 12th, to witness what happens at these events. I can try to explain in my own words how it affected me, but it'll affect everybody different. But if you get a chance to see what happens in person, I guarantee it's an experience you'll never forget. I've shared with you a few of the strategies outlined in Florida's Action for Dental Health. As we look for opportunities to improve access to dental care around the state, we know that it'll take a multifaceted approach and it will not happen overnight. I believe as we look at the overall Medicaid program and dental care, there will have to be some acknowledgement that there needs to be adequately funding allocated to cover the dental care that is severely needed. As a dentist who advocates for prevention because dental disease is preventable, I can tell you that it becomes way more costly to treat dental decay once formed and even more costly when it spreads. The Florida Dental Association would like to be a part of the solution with the programs I've shared with you today. I hope that you understand that we do have many dentists who are willing to partner with the state to ensure Floridians have access to quality oral health care. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All right, this concludes, do we have a question?
Madam Chair, I just want to reiterate his invitation to please join us for the miracle, for the Mission of Mercy event in Tallahassee the day after session. I can't wait to see it, and I'm already emotional thinking about it. So thank you.
Dr. Liddell, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
While this concludes our committee agenda, I do have one brief announcement. I know we all had busy weeks in between our last committee week and this committee week, but nobody had a happier time away than I think our own Cheryl, who was recently engaged to be married. So join me in congratulating Cheryl, please. It's always better to get in trouble later than to ask permission if you can do something like that. So, Representative Rizzo moves we rise without objection. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.